I have a very dear friend who's now with the Lord, Brother Bill Carver. He was a member of Sequoia Church in Cherokee, North Carolina, where Brother Tim James is pastor. Bill made his living dealing with remnants. He bought remnants from factories at bargain prices because factories have no use for remnants. He sold those remnants to thrifty housewives because thrifty housewives are always tickled to death to buy stuff that rich folks throw away. With men, remnants are of no great importance. With men, remnants are odd pieces, leftovers, things that have to be disposed of, really just a nuisance. But my friend Bill Carver looked upon remnants as precious things. All the time I knew him, he only dealt in remnants. What other men regarded as trash was his treasure. He was always looking for remnants. He built his house with remnants. He raised his family on remnants. When they were grown, he put his sons in business with remnants. He did pretty good with remnants. He did pretty good with them. Did you know God Almighty only deals with a remnant? Stuff that the rest of the world considers leftover, waste, a nuisance, trash, worthless. God only deals with a remnant. He only works for a remnant. He's always seeking a remnant. Everything he does is for a remnant. He builds his house with a remnant. God looks upon a remnant as the greatest treasure in the world. Let me rephrase that. His remnant, the remnant of Jacob, is to the triune God the only treasure there is in the world. It's the pearl of great price for which he sacrificed himself. God's prophet Micah was inspired to describe his people as a remnant. Not once, not twice, but three times in the fifth chapter of Micah, God calls his elect the remnant of Jacob. And that's my subject this evening. The remnant of Jacob. Our text will be Micah chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Micah chapter 5, verse 7. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as a dew from the Lord, as showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. The Apostle Paul tells us that there is a remnant according to the election of grace among the fallen, depraved, lost, condemned ruins of humanity. And he assures us that the remnant shall be saved. With men, a remnant is something left over, waste material, material for which there's no plan, no purpose, and no intended use. With God, exactly the opposite is true. God's remnant is the kernel. God's remnant is the kernel. Everything else is husk. God's remnant is the treasure. Everything else is trash. God's remnant is the pearl. Everything else is the shell. God's remnant is that for which all things were planned, for which all things were made, for which all things are disposed. Without that elect remnant, everything else would be meaningless. Without the elect remnant, There would be no understanding of anything that has ever happened in history without an understanding that God has the remnant of Jacob scattered among the nations of the earth, whom He's determined to save. Without understanding that, you cannot understand anything in the history of this world, let alone in your life. But understand this, and you understand everything. God has a remnant called the remnant of Jacob, the remnant of Israel. And God does everything for that remnant. It was true in Micah's time, and it's true today, that the church, the people of God, are a poor, needy remnant, scattered among the nations, an elect people, a redeemed remnant, protected under God's own hand, but a remnant still. Micah tells us that we are God's remnant, particularly and distinctly under God's care, particularly and distinctly given to Christ to be cared for, protected, and saved by Christ Jesus. The God of all grace deals with a remnant. He seeks a remnant. He builds His house with a remnant. His treasure is a remnant, the remnant of Jacob. That's Christ's seed in the earth that shall serve Him. That is the generation that's accounted to the Lord to serve Him. Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. The remnant of Jacob is God's elect. All those who have been saved, all those who are being saved, and all those who shall be saved, these are the remnant of Jacob. These are God's chosen. The whole Israel of God, the whole church of God are included in this, the remnant of Jacob. And look how Micah describes this remnant in verse 7. The remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord, as showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man nor waiteth for the sons of men. God inspired Micah to speak of His people as a remnant, His little flock, the flock of God's choosing. This remnant is distinguished from the world around it with divine blessing, with divine mercy. As Gideon's fleece was distinguished from the dry earth around it by the dew of heaven falling upon it, God's remnant is distinguished from the rest of the world by God's blessing upon it, by the dew of heaven upon it, by His grace upon it. God's remnant is His choice treasure. And they are in a covenant relationship with God in Christ Jesus. As such, this blessed remnant is separated and distinguished from all the world at all times. God's remnant are a people that dwell alone. They're not reckoned among the nations. They're not considered a part of others. They're in the midst of the world and walk in the world and live in the world, but they're always separate from the world. Separate from the world from the beginning and separate from the world though they know it not in the days of their rebellion. Separate from the world while they live and walk with God and at last separate from the world forever with Christ in glory. This chosen remnant is described here as dew from the Lord. What a picture. As the dew falls from heaven, as the rain falls upon the earth, not by the order of man, not by the will of man, not by the plan of man, not by the merit of man, but by the will and plan and purpose of God Almighty. So all the blessings of God's grace fall upon His chosen, upon this earth, not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Micah tells us this remnant is as the showers upon the grass. Remember, my brothers and sisters, I'm talking now about you. God's remnant. The remnant of Jacob. The objects of God's constant, everlasting, tender care. The remnant is you who are God's. Micah is describing God's church, God's people. When he says that God's remnant is as the showers upon the grass, he's telling us that the Lord Jesus is promised to come down as showers upon the mown grass to revive and refresh his people. So we depend for all things upon him. And while the earth around us is a parched, dry ground, an empty, barren desert, and provides nothing for the satisfaction of our souls, we find all our souls need, all grace, all mercy, all benefit, all blessedness in Christ Jesus the Lord. The dew and the rain are free. And so all the blessings of God's grace in Christ Jesus come profusely upon his remnant freely. Freely. Look at verse 8. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles, scattered among the nations. Scattered among the nations, Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You'll remember how they're described in Genesis, what is it, chapter 9, chapter 11. Shem representing the Jews. Ham representing the reprobate of this world. And Japheth representing the Gentiles. And Noah said in his prophecy, Ham, Canaan, shall be servant of servant to Shem and Japheth. That is, all the reprobate of the earth shall serve to minister to and care for and preserve God's chosen people. And Japheth shall dwell in the tents of Shem. That is, the Gentiles, God's chosen among the Gentiles, shall themselves be brought into the body of Christ as the Israel of God, and they too shall be one body in Christ Jesus. Micah says here, the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people. And in verse 7, the remnant is described as receiving blessings from the Lord very passively. But here, this remnant is described as being very active, going forth in the Lord's strength to the Lord's cause, conquering and to conquer. Read on. They shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep. Not to devour the sheep. This remnant is as a lion in the midst of sheep. For the lion himself is one of the sheep. Who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. This remnant shall conquer all, and this remnant shall prevail over all, and God's remnant shall at last be saved. Micah speaks of the remnant and tells us, acting under the name and authority of the lion of the tribe of Judah. Or I said Micah, Isaiah says, the worm of Jacob is enabled to thresh the mountains. All right, now turn back to this passage in Micah and let's look at it. I want to show you five things revealed in the book of God about the remnant of Jacob. I'll make five statements. And I want you to see that these things are taught throughout the Scriptures. First, I want you to see that the remnant of Jacob is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now, hear what I'm saying. God will not save all men. God never intended to save all men. It was never God's will, never God's purpose, that all men should be saved. And we, as the servants and people of God, do not seek the salvation of all men. God's intent is the salvation of his remnant. And we devote ourselves to the salvation of this remnant, the salvation of God's elect. That elect remnant shall be saved. God from eternity has chosen to save some of Adam's fallen race, which he calls the remnant of Jacob. Now, none of us deserve this salvation. In fact, we fully deserve God's wrath, eternal damnation, everlasting judgment. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to look at some scriptures in the book of Isaiah tonight. He was companion, contemporary with Micah in his prophecy. Here in Isaiah chapter 1, I want you to see clearly, were it not for God having chosen a remnant, for God preserving a remnant, if it weren't for God's electing grace, no one would ever be saved, for we all deserve God's wrath. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I've nourished and brought up children, and they've rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They've forsaken the Lord. They've provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They're gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. He's talking about you. You know about me. That's our nature. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Now watch this. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Thank God for election. Thank God for His free electing favor. It is by God's choice of His remnant that the nations are preserved. Look at what Isaiah tells us in his prophecy about this remnant. And just look at Isaiah. We can look at many places. But Isaiah, we're here. Let's look at what Isaiah says. Look at chapter 10. Though ruined and scattered by the fall, the remnant of Jacob shall return to the Lord. Excuse me. Verse 20. It shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel, and such as are escaped to the house of Jacob, shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. And that's exactly what Micah said back in Micah chapter 5, verse 7. He said, the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people. He said in verse 8, the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many. But this scattered remnant, he tells us in verse 3, shall return to the Lord. All right, look at Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah speaks about this remnant again. He says, the remnant of Jacob shall return because Christ shall recover that which was lost. Look at Isaiah 11:11. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Patras and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. The Lord will set his hand the second time to recover his remnant from the four corners of the earth. They're scattered everywhere. They're scattered everywhere. And the Lord shall set his hand to recover them. And then in chapter 11 and verse 16, Isaiah tells us that Christ is the way by which the remnant of Jacob returns to him. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people. Our Lord said, I am the way, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. And then in Isaiah 37 and verse 4. It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God. Rabshakeh reproaches God as he taunts Israel and seeks to bring them to shake before him. He said, maybe the Lord will hear his blasphemies and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. Bob, it's ours. It should be ours. Ever to pray for this remnant. To pray for the salvation of God's Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is the salvation and peace of God's church. Set your hearts, children of God, to the saving of God's remnant, to the calling out of God's elect. That, Darvin, is our business. That's why he left us here. As a matter of fact, I recall many years ago, standing on the front porch of the church building down in Ball, Louisiana. You and I were talking after service late one night, and you said to me, Don, I don't see any other reason why God left us here except to be witnesses to him. What's keeping him from taking us to glory? We won't be more perfect tomorrow or 100 years from now than we are now. We won't be more righteous tomorrow or 100 years from now than we are now. Why doesn't it take us to glory then? Because he has in condescending mercy, in great, great, great mercy, he's chosen to use saved sinners to tell lost chosen sinners how God saves sinners in Christ Jesus the Lord. What a privilege. What an honor. God's put us here for the calling out of his remnant, that he may hear our prayer for his remnant. Look in Isaiah 37. Isaiah 37, two more passages in Isaiah. God's elect, the remnant of Jacob, shall escape the judgment of God. By his almighty grace, this remnant, God's elect, shall take root downward in the earth and bear fruit upward to heaven. Look at verse 31. The remnant that has escaped to the house of Judah shall again take root downward. They'll sink their roots strong and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant. And they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. And look at verse chapter 46. Isaiah 46, verse 3. Hear what God says about preserving this remnant. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. What's this now? Which are born by me from the belly. David said, Lord, you made me to hope when I was yet in my mother's womb. You made me to hope from the belly. God has borne you. And God bears his remnant from the belly. His hand takes us in our mother's womb in hand. And his hand holds us securely in his hand. And none can deliver us from his hand. Read on. Which are carried from the womb. You've heard me repeat what Brother Scott Richardson said once years ago. He and I were preaching together in a meeting. And he looked at me and he said, "Life in this world ain't much, is it, Brother Dodd?" He said, "It starts with a slap on the bottom and ends with a shovel full of dirt in the face. And there ain't much in between but bumps and bruises." Well, that's true. But all through the bumps and bruises, God carries His remnant. God carries them. Look at this, verse 4. "And even to your old age, I am He. And even to four hairs will I carry you." That doesn't depend, David, on you at all. Doesn't depend on your strength. Doesn't depend on the strength of your faith. Doesn't depend on the strength of your mind. We joke about getting Alzheimer's. It's hardly anything to joke about. And yet you've got to exercise some liberty with such painful things. But the fact is, I may lose my mind and not know my name or yours. But God Almighty has promised to carry His remnant to their old age and to their hoar hairs. And nothing's going to change. Nothing. Read on. "I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry," now watch this, "and will deliver you." That's God's word to His remnant. All right, here's the second thing. God's long suffering, God's goodness, God's mercy toward fallen men is the result of God's love to the remnant of Jacob. The only thing that keeps God from destroying this world right now is this remnant scattered among the nations. That's the only thing. It's the only thing. People sometimes talk foolishly. They see things going on. We live in a society that is obviously under the judgment of God. A generation obviously under the judgment of God. And folks will sometimes say, "Well, if God doesn't judge this world soon, He'll give an apology to Sodom and Gomorrah." God's not in the business of apologizing. He's ruling the world exactly as He will for this remnant. And the thing that preserves this world, this reprobate generation in which we live, the reason God doesn't send the fire of heaven to consume this ball of earth is because hidden in the earth is a treasure, a blessed thing, called the remnant of Jacob. God sent His angels to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you remember what the angel said? He said, "Lot, get up and get out of this place, for I cannot destroy the city until I bring you out." And God Almighty will not destroy this world until the last of His elect has been called by His grace. Now that's the meaning of 2 Peter 3:9. God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any, that is any of this elect remnant of Jacob, not willing that any should perish, but that every blessed one of them come to repentance and knowledge of the truth. We know that because Peter says the long-suffering of our God is salvation. God's goodness to men in general, that which is perceived to be God's goodness, that which men enjoy as though it were a blessing from heaven, which shall at last prove to be millstones about their neck, dragging them down into everlasting judgment. That which appears to be a blessing, men enjoy in this world only because of God's remnant here in their midst. We've been enjoying wonderful weather lately, haven't we? Hadn't had any tornadoes, any floods, any avalanches, at least not here in Danville. How come? Because God's causing the sun to shine on us, causing His sun to be favorable to us, causing the weather to be favorable to Danville, Kentucky. Look at us. Look at this. Man, when we, the only time since I've been here, we've had even a spattering of an earthquake. Just, unless you had real loose light bulbs in the house, you wouldn't even know it shook. It was just a spattering of it. Oh, those folks must be so good. No. No. If your neighbor understood that the reason the sun shines on him and the rain falls on him and the earth doesn't open up and swallow him into hell is because he lives beside Bill Raleigh, he beats your door every day with a bag of groceries stacked in you. That's exactly right. God does everything for His elect, for His remnant. Other folks benefit from it. That's all. People say, well, this is common grace. Common grace, phooey. There ain't nothing common about God's grace. You can forget that nonsense. Let's reverse this thing. When we do get a tornado, when we do have severe weather, it comes on the just as well as the unjust. You call that common judgment? No. We experience those things right along with other people because we live amongst the reprobate and the damned, whom God constantly warns of judgment and everlasting damnation. Lot was the preservative of Sodom. And God tells us that in the last day, the earth shall be preserved because of the elect. For the elect's sake, those days of tribulation shall be shortened. Look at Isaiah 45. Verse 1. Now before we read, let me preface this. If God gives power to Cyrus, a pagan, idolatrous Babylonian king, made to be the most powerful king in the world. Now that wasn't accidental, Bobby. God gave him that throne. God set him on that throne. He said, well, would you vote for it? No, no. No, I'd vote against him, but God put him there. God put him there. If God gives power to Cyrus and riches to a pagan nation, He does it for the sake of His elect. Look here, Isaiah 45. Thus saith the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two lead gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am God, the God of Israel. Now watch verse 4. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. In a word, God is merciful to men in general in His acts of providence, because He is merciful to His elect in particular, distinguishing grace. Now, let me state again, as the third point, what I've been saying all along. Everything God does, He does for the remnant of Jacob. Everything. all things are yours. 1 Corinthians 3:21. For you're Christ. David spoke like this, I will cry unto God Most High. I'll cry out to Him in prayer. Or just read it, I'll cry to Him. I expect maybe that's what He's talking about. I'll lay my head on God's chest. And I'll cry to God. I'll take my cares to my God. And I'll cry to Him. I'll cast my care on God. And I'll cry to Him. Watch this. I'd suggest that unto God that performeth all things just for me. Just for me. Unto God who performeth all things for me. God chose Israel. God gave His law for Israel. God made atonement for Israel. God called Israel. God performs all things for His Israel, His elect, the remnant of Jacob. And to top it all off, He promises to save Israel. He says, I will bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off. My salvation shall not tarry. I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Oh, blessed are they who know and understand all the works of the Lord that He has done for Israel. They go to their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord has done for Israel, His people. And yet this remnant is always a small remnant. A small remnant. Oh yes, God's elect shall be a number that no man shall number. Those saved of the Lord shall be a number that cannot be expressed in any forms that we can calculate. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. A great multitude that no man can number. But at any one time, in any specified place, throughout the history of this world, from the beginning of time to the end of time, God's elect are a small remnant. A very small remnant. In comparison with those around them, but a small remnant. God always, always, deals with a small remnant. People talk about wonderful days of history when there were gospel preachers everywhere. I wish you could find me some. For every time you point one out, I'll show you 100 that weren't. No, there's never been such a day. And there's not going to be such a day. No, sir. No, sir. God deals with a remnant. The Lord God called one man named Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. One man found grace in the eyes of the Lord when God destroyed the world, a man by the name of Noah. God calls out those who are least likely to be used for anything. Athanasius, a lone, isolated voice. Luther, a crude, rough man. Calvin, a thin, feeble man. Bunyan, just a tinker. Spurgeon, a 19-year-old boy. You, me. He's got one of his own, a mighty, mighty ruler by the name of Naaman. Reckon how he's going to get that fellow taken care of. He's going to give him leprosy. And he's going to put in his house a little Israelite maiden who feared God. And say, she'll tell him about a prophet. A man who speaks for God. On whose hand God is. And if she'll send him to that prophet. And Naaman will find his leprosy cleansed. And he goes back to his pagan king. and serves God in his house. A small boy was used with his little lunch box to feed 20,000 people. It was a small woman, insignificant woman, in a nowhere place whose name I don't even know, through whose womb God gave us John Newton. God takes small things and uses them. Small things. And he takes always what nobody else would think about using. I just read this morning about Gideon's army. Gideon, the mighty judge of Israel. Darvin, he started out with 22,000 volunteers. And God started whittling them down. And finally, he wound up with 300 soldiers. And this is how God finally separated them from the others. He picked out the 300 who were so scared, they wouldn't even stoop down on their knees and get water. They just run along, grab a handful, throw it in the mouth as they could. Who would want them? Just God. Who would use such things? Just God. Who would want you? Who would use me? Just God. One more thing. This blessed book is plumb full of good news for the remnant of Jacob. God has this remnant still. He will not cast away his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And this remnant of Jacob shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. Hear me, Grace Baptist Church. Hear me, you who serve God, you who support the cause of Christ around the world, you who have an interest in the building of God's kingdom. Hear me. Your labor is not in vain. God will save his elect, every blessed one of them. At the appointed time of his love, when peace comes, he brings peace to his chosen remnant, the remnant of Jacob. And here's something else. God's not angry with his elect remnant. He sent me to tell you that. The Lord's put away your sin. He's given you double for all your transgressions. He's given you perfect righteousness in his darling Son. Oh, thank God there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Because there's a remnant, there's hope. Because it's a remnant chosen by grace alone. There's hope for me. Turn to Jeremiah 32 and I'll wrap this up. Jeremiah chapter 32. Listen to what God says in verse 37. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I've driven them. In mine anger and in my fury and in my great wrath. When Brother Mahan and I met out here the last time he preached for us, we just started these hosting sermons on the internet, chatting a little bit. And he said to me, after I explained to him just how far-reaching this thing is, he said, the Lord said before the end of time, this gospel would be preached among all nations. Maybe this is how you'll do it. Maybe so. Maybe so, but this I know. He will gather them out of all countries whither he's driven them. I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. Verse 38, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. Verse 40. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And I will not turn away from them to do them good. But I will put my fear in their hearts and they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. Isn't that a wonderful word? God says, I will rejoice over them to do them good. And I will plant them in this land assuredly. Watch this. With my whole heart. And with my whole soul. Merle Hart, God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is utterly devoted with his whole heart and his whole soul to the salvation of the remnant of Jacob. Let me share something with you I wrote. I'm going to finish preparing this message. When fearful clouds around us rise, and mortals dare our Christ despise, God's remnant is his special care, though chased and scattered here and there. They are the election of his grace, though but a remnant of our race, forever dear to Jesus' heart, and with them he will never part. Redeemed by blood and called by grace, at God's appointed time of peace, the remnant shall return to God. All robed in white and washed in blood, the choice of his eternal love shall reign with Jesus Christ above. He calls and conquers them by his grace. They shall, oh, soon they shall see his lovely face. Pastor, how can I know that I'm one of these blessed ones, God's remnant? If you can, right where you sit, believe on the Son of God. If you can cast the care and the weight of your immortal soul upon the merits of Jesus Christ the Lord, it's because you have been called as the remnant of Jacob by the God of all grace. Amen.